First of all, Tom, you can have a few minutes to rest. When I put the service together, I didn't realize between bells, choir, men's quartet, and liturgist, you wouldn't have a moment off. So this is your 5 minutes. Are any of you Christmas grumps? You know what? I'm glad to see people willing to confess. I am a Christmas grump. That's no surprise, of course, to my wife or my daughter. I'm a bit of a Christmas grump, you know, maybe not exactly an Ebenezer, but humbug, that's an okay word half the time. Well, in case tonight isn't finding you all in exactly the right Christmas mood, let me see if I can, as my mom would say, warm the cockles of your heart. Whatever that means, and I'm not quite sure what cockles in your heart are. But let's see if I can warm them and improve your spirit. So it gives me great pleasure to tell you as a congregation that this is what you have been doing so generously this year. And as always, you completely blow me away, each and every one of you. So let me recap. You donated 21 food boxes for Thanksgiving, and with the money also collected, 23 families were fed at Thanksgiving, thanks to you. You filled 85 shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child. You provided 100 gifts to deserving children here in town. And all of that in addition to your usual donations that you make each month of socks and underwear and toiletries to the Open Door Mission, food and clothing to Crossroads Connection, food to the Bellevue Food Pantry, school supplies and clothing to Bellevue Together, and the many other ways that you have helped with your time and your money and your material goods to those in need. Those are some amazing numbers for a congregation our size. So give yourselves a hand. It's okay to recognize that. So does that warm those cockles wherever they are for you? It should. Now, for those of you who have been watching weeks and weeks of those sappy Hallmark Christmas movies, your heart should be pretty warm by now. There's nothing like a nice, heartwarming Christmas story to get us in the mood for peace on earth and goodwill to all people, right? Now, one of the radio stations I listen to each morning has been giving away money or items to good, clean, honest, deserving people who have found themselves in tough circumstances this Christmas and who could use some help. Each segment, as you listen to them, it's one of the Lincoln stations. Anyone listen? Each segment is guaranteed to wring some tears from your eyes every time you hear the stories, because some of them are heartbreaking stories. Especially at Christmas, we love to hear stories of deserving people who finally have something good happen in their lives. And we love to be the ones to help deserving people get a break, to be fed, to provide Christmas gifts for their children, to help out wherever we can. It warms the cockles of your heart. We hate to see good people suffer. We don't like it when decent people have to suffer indecencies, do we? And that's what's so great about this time of year, even for a grump like me. This holiday season, you know, all those things are well and good, and they're moments filled with spirit, with the Holy Spirit, but they're not the spirit of Christmas. They may hold some essence of what Christmas is about, but they're not Christmas. They may tell us something about the spirit of Christmas, but they will always pale in comparison to the real thing. They're how we choose to live out Christmas in our own lives. And that's well and good. On Christmas Day, God gave us the amazing gift of grace, of forgiveness, of healing, of peace, of love. On Christmas Day, God gave us the amazing gift of Himself, wrapped in human flesh, to be with us and to be for us. And how can our response to that gift be anything but love and generosity and care for our brothers and sisters in need. Christmas is such a rich time for all of us, filled with memories, good and bad, filled with joy and laughter and remembrances of people and places and all of those good times you've shared with friends and family. So just spend a second. I'll give you five. 5 seconds, letting some of those memories come flooding back. And just enjoy them for a second or two. What does Christmas smell like to you? Cinnamon rolls right out of the oven? Who's having those tomorrow morning? Christmas cookies baking? Turkey? Ham? What does it taste like? Eggnog? Pumpkin pie? Baker's chocolate? Or is it more like the smell of dinner cooking at the house of dirty little Zacchaeus, who Jesus invited himself to dine with? Or the taste of a humble meal shared with a prostitute or tax collector while the Pharisees stand around grumbling? Or a breakfast of broiled fish on the beach as Jesus asks you if you love him more than anything? Or maybe it kind of smells like sheep and manure and hay. What does it sound like to you? Children playing Christmas carols, bells and choir and the songs we sing? What does it sound like to you? Or is it Jesus saying, "Is there no one left to condemn you? Then neither do I condemn you. Or go, your faith has made you well. Or come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, it's so easy to get lost in the trappings of Christmas and forget. Forget the real Christmas behind our memories and our celebrations, to forget the truth. The truth is that the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, is a gift that none of us have earned or deserve, not one little bit. Thank God in Jesus Christ that deservedness was not the criteria, that righteousness was not the criteria, that goodness was not the criteria, that general lovableness was not the criteria. The beauty and glory of Christmas is that God chose, simply out of love and no other reason, God chose to give the gift of himself to us, the undeserving, the unholy, the less than righteous, the broken, and the sinner, and the ones in need of forgiveness. You know, we tell our children that Santa Claus brings gifts to who? All the good little boys and girls. And they better watch out, and they better not pout, because that pesky little elf is keeping his eye out for bad behavior. But this is the truth of Christmas. God brings, and God gives, the best gift of all. Wrapped in human flesh and lying in a manger, God gives the most amazing gift of all, the gift of his love and his grace and his forgiveness. And you know what the best part is? He gives that gift freely, not to the good and the deserving, but instead he gives it to all the bad little boys and all the bad little girls like you and like me. The Apostle Paul said it this way: "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now here's a quote I wish was mine, but Tim Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City said it better than I ever could. And someone had asked him to summarize the gospel message in a word or two. And he said this: "We are worse off than we thought, but we are more loved than we could ever believe was possible. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the real message and meaning of Christmas. That Christ came into the world not to live a long and happy life as we desire for our children, but to die that we might have life and have it in abundance. And if that don't say Merry Christmas, then I don't know what does. All of God's deepest desires and wishes for us, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, ours for the asking, not because we deserve it, but because we can't live without it. Glory be to God in the highest heaven. Amen.